A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's a direct sequel to the episode where we diagnosed why our scripts turned into incoherent word salad. The short version, he pushed the temperature from 0.8 to 1.2. The model's reasoning collapsed, and the output got progressively worse because the generated text itself became a toxic precedent that poisoned everything that came after. He also experimented with a multi-agent pipeline where one agent outlined, another wrote each section in isolation, and then they stitched it all together. That solved the context pollution problem, but introduced a new one. The sections didn't feel like parts of a whole. Agents kept introducing topics as if they were starting fresh, so now he's asking about third ways. Dynamic trailing context truncation. Hierarchical generation with structured memory. Anything that doesn't force a choice between coherence degradation and disjointed output. And he's right that this is a temporary engineering problem. Context windows are ballooning. But for anyone building agentic pipelines right now, this is the silent killer.
It's not just our problem. Every team generating long-form content with a single large language model hits this wall. You start strong, the first 10 minutes are crisp, and then somewhere around the 15-minute mark, the reasoning starts to fray. By minute 25, you're getting sentences that are grammatically correct, but logically untethered, like a jazz musician who forgot what key they're in.
The musical equivalent of beige wallpaper that slowly turns into static.
The insidious thing is, unlike a temperature spike which announces itself with obvious gibberish, context degradation is subtle. You don't notice it until you read the whole thing and realize the last third doesn't quite connect to the first. It's death by a thousand tokens.
Where do we even start? The obvious fix is truncation. Just chop off the old context. But I've got a feeling that's the equivalent of fixing a leaky roof by removing the ceiling.
It's worse than that. Let's start with why context degrades even when temperature is stable. Most people assume if you set temperature to 0.8 and leave it there, the model's reasoning quality stays constant. That's not what happens. A Google DeepMind study in 2025 found that reasoning quality starts measurably declining after about 32,000 tokens of generated content, even with temperature locked down. The mechanism is cumulative. Each new token the model generates becomes part of the context for the next token. If the model makes a slightly suboptimal choice, a word that's not quite right, a transition that's a little clunky, that slightly degraded output becomes the foundation for the next prediction. Over thousands of tokens, these micro-errors compound.
It's like photocopying a photocopy. Each generation is fine on its own, but after 50 copies, you're looking at a gray rectangle.
That's the right intuition, though the mechanism is more specific. With photocopies, you lose information. With language models, you accumulate noise. The model's attention mechanism has to process an ever-growing context window. And as that window fills with generated text, the model starts attending to patterns in its own output rather than the original instructions. It's a feedback loop where the model becomes increasingly self-referential.
This is where that episode we did with the blanks comes in. The one where researchers replaced irrelevant tokens with empty spaces and reasoning still collapsed.
Right, that was foundational. The finding was that attention degradation isn't about the semantic content of the context, it's about the sheer volume of tokens the attention mechanism has to process. Even blank tokens cause degradation because attention is fundamentally a capacity-limited resource. You can't fix it by cleaning up the context, you have to reduce the amount of context the model sees.
Which brings us to truncation. Daniel's idea about dynamic trailing context, truncation, keeping only the last n tokens plus maybe a summary. On paper, it's elegant. In practice, what breaks?
The most obvious is referential chains. Imagine the model writes in section 1, the protagonist, a retired pediatrician named Herman Poppleberry, discovered something alarming. Then in section 4, after you've truncated everything before the last 4,000 tokens, the model writes, he decided to investigate further. Who is he? The model knows because it wrote the name, but that name is no longer in the context window. The pronoun is dangling. Now multiply that by every named entity, every argument thread, every callback to an earlier point. Truncation doesn't just drop old text, it severs the referential infrastructure that makes a long document coherent.
Like adopting a feral cat. You get the cat, but you lose the context of where it came from, what it eats, whether it hates anteaters.
I don't think the anteater part is standard in the analogy.
It's always relevant.
The deeper problem with truncation is that it assumes all tokens are equally disposable. They're not. The most important information for coherence often appears early in the document. The thesis statement, the key definitions, the structural signposts. A sliding window that keeps only the most recent tokens is guaranteed to drop the scaffolding while keeping the decorative elements.
Truncation is a bandage on a wound that needs stitches. What's the actual surgical fix?
This is where hierarchical generation with structured memory comes in. Instead of one agent writing sequentially with a growing context, or multiple isolated agents writing in parallel with no shared context, you have a supervisor agent that maintains what's essentially a living outline. Not just section headings, but a structured record of what's been established. Key claims that were made, entities that were introduced, the tone and register of the piece, argument threads that are still open. Each section agent receives only its own section brief, plus a compressed memory vector, maybe 200 to 500 tokens, that summarizes everything that came before.
The section agent knows that Herman was introduced as a retired pediatrician, that we established context degradation as a compounding problem, that the tone is technical but conversational, but it doesn't have to wade through 15,000 tokens of raw transcript to find that information.
And this is fundamentally different from the multi-agent approach Daniel tried and abandoned. In his version, each agent got the outline node for its section and nothing else. No memory of what prior sections had established. So, of course, the agents reintroduced topics they had no way of knowing what the audience already knew. The memory vector closes that gap.
It's the difference between giving someone a map versus giving them a pile of satellite photos. The map tells you what matters. The photos make you figure it out yourself.
There's real precedent for this. Anthropic's Claude 3.5 Sonnet introduced what they call a precis mode in early 2026. It compresses context down to about 10% of its original size, while retaining roughly 95% of key information. They're using it for document understanding, but the pattern is the same. Extract what matters, discard the rest, feed the model a high signal summary instead of raw text.
We're talking about applying that pattern to generation rather than comprehension. The supervisor generates the precis, the section agents consume it.
And the Google DeepMind study quantified the benefit. They found that structured memory vectors reduce coherence loss by about 40% compared to raw context truncation in long-form generation tasks. That's not a marginal improvement. That's the difference between a script that holds together and one that unravels.
Walk me through what this actually looks like for a 25-minute episode. 5 sections, each about 5 minutes of spoken audio. How does the supervisor operate?
The supervisor starts by generating a structured outline, probably a JSON tree. Each node has the section's topic, the key claims that need to be established, any entities or running bits that should be referenced, and tone markers. For section 1, the tone might be hook-driven, establishes stakes, conversational. For section 3, it might be technical deep dive, maintain energy, use concrete numbers. The supervisor writes section 1 itself, or delegates to a section agent with the full outline as context, since section 1 has no prior content to summarize. After section 1 is written, the supervisor generates a memory vector. Something like, established context degradation is a compounding problem caused by attention mechanism limits. Introduced, Herman Poppleberry as expert voice, Korn as skeptical foil. Open threads, truncation as a potential fix not yet evaluated. Tone, technical but accessible with dry humor. Key entities, Google DeepMind 2025 study, Anthropic Precis mode.
Then Section 2's agent gets its outline node plus that memory vector. It knows not to reintroduce Herman. It knows the truncation discussion is coming. It knows the register to maintain.
And after Section 2 is written, the supervisor updates the memory vector, adds what was covered, notes any new entities or claims, closes threads that were resolved, flags ones that are still open. The memory vector evolves as the document grows, but it never exceeds a few hundred tokens.
The context each agent sees is tiny compared to a single agent approach. Section 5's agent sees maybe 500 tokens of memory, plus its section brief, versus a single agent that would be staring at 20,000 tokens of accumulated text by that point.
That has downstream benefits beyond coherence. Latency drops significantly. A single agent processing a 32,000 token context takes much longer per token than a section agent processing 4,000 tokens. The hierarchical approach can be 3 times faster for the same output quality. Cost drops too, since you're paying for fewer input tokens.
There's a catch, though. The supervisor agent itself becomes a single point of failure. If it generates a bad outline or a sloppy memory vector, every section suffers.
That's the bottleneck, yes. But there are mitigations. You can use a separate, smaller model for outline generation, something like GPT-4 or Mini, and add a validation step that checks for structural completeness before any section agents start writing. The validation can be as simple as, does every section have a clear topic? Are there at least 3 key claims distributed across the outline? Are the tone markers consistent? If the outline failed validation, regenerate it. The cost of regenerating an outline is trivial compared to regenerating a full script.
You could even have the validation step catch things like, does Section 3's topic logically follow from Section 2's? Basic structural coherence. Checks that prevent the supervisor from producing an outline where the argument jumps tracks.
This connects to something I've been thinking about with retrieval augmented generation. People sometimes conflate RAG and context management, but they're solving completely different problems. RAG solves knowledge freshness. It pulls in external facts the model doesn't have memorized. Context management solves reasoning coherence. It prevents the model from drowning in its own output. You can have perfect RAG and still get incoherent scripts if your context is polluted. The two problems are orthogonal.
Don't confuse your bandages. RAG is for knowledge. Structured memory is for coherence.
And there's a practical case study that demonstrates this. A podcast production team, AI Content Labs, published a blog post earlier this year about switching to hierarchical generation. They were producing 20-minute episodes and tracking coherence errors, things like repeated introductions, dropped threads, tonal inconsistencies. Under the single-agent approach with full context, they were seeing coherence errors in roughly 15% of their sections. After switching to hierarchical generation with compressed memory vectors, that dropped to about 6%, a 60% reduction.
Those are the kinds of numbers that make engineers sit up. What about the TTS alignment problem, though? If sections are generated independently, how do you prevent prosody mismatches? One section comes out breathless and urgent. The next sounds like a meditation app.
This is where the tone vector in the memory becomes critical. You're not just passing factual summaries between sections, you're passing stylistic instructions. Conversational, slightly urgent, avoid lists, maintain the dry wit that characterized Section 1. Each section agent gets that as part of its system prompt. It's not perfect, you still get some variation, but it's dramatically more consistent than isolated generation without stylistic memory.
This is all deployable today with existing APIs. You don't need custom models or exotic infrastructure. Just a supervisor agent, some section agents, and a structured memory format.
That's the key point. None of this requires frontier models or custom training. You can build the whole thing with off-the-shelf API calls. The engineering challenge is in the orchestration layer, not the model layer.
Which raises the question Daniel hinted at in the prompt. As context windows expand, Gemini 1.5 Pro already handles 200,000 tokens. GPT-5 will presumably go further. Does all of this become obsolete? Are we designing solutions for a problem that's about to disappear?
I think the answer is nuanced. For raw generation, where you just need the model to produce coherent text, bigger context windows probably do make hierarchical approaches unnecessary eventually. If a model can reliably attend to 100,000 tokens without degradation, you don't need to chunk your generation. But agentic orchestration benefits from structured memory even with infinite context for 2 reasons. First, cost and latency. Processing a 200,000 token context is expensive and slow. And if you can get identical coherence with 4,000 token contexts plus a memory vector, you're saving real money. Second, and this is the more interesting reason, structured memory isn't just about context management, it's about intentionality. The supervisor agent making explicit decisions about what matters, what the through line is, what the audience needs to remember, That's an editorial function that raw context windows don't provide.
Even when the technical constraint disappears, the architectural pattern survives because it produces better output. It's like how we still use outlines even though word processors can handle infinite scrolling. The constraint wasn't the only reason the practice existed.
The supervisor agent is essentially an automated editor. It's making decisions about narrative structure that a single agent with a giant context window might not make, because the single agent is just generating sequentially without stepping back to consider the whole.
That editor function is what Daniel's original multi-agent approach was missing. He had the outline, he had the section agents, but he didn't have the memory vector that tells each agent what's already been established. The agents were working from the blueprint without knowing what parts of the building had already been constructed.
And that's why they kept laying new foundations. They didn't know the foundation was already there.
If someone's listening to this and they're running a single agent pipeline that's starting to show coherence degradation, what's the smallest change they can make today that moves the needle?
The lowest effort intervention is what I'd call a context budget. Instead of feeding your agent the entire conversation history, you cap the prompt at the last 8,000 tokens plus a running summary of everything before that. The summary doesn't need to be generated by a separate model. You can use the same model in a separate call to summarize the truncated content. It's not as elegant as the full hierarchical approach, but it's something you can implement in an afternoon.
The sweet spot for the budget depends on your content, but 8,000 tokens is a reasonable starting point. That's roughly 10 to 12 minutes of spoken dialogue.
The key is to test with your specific content. Run the same episode through your pipeline with different context budgets and measure coherence. It's tedious, but it's the only way to know what works for your use case. Some content is more referentially dense than others. It needs more context to stay coherent. A technical deep dive with lots of callbacks needs more history than a linear narrative.
Which is why the hierarchical approach with structured memory is ultimately the more robust solution. It doesn't guess at what's important. It explicitly tracks it.
That's where we'll pick up after the break. The mechanics of building that supervisor agent, what the memory vector actually looks like in practice, and the knock-on effect nobody talks about, like what happens when the supervisor itself starts to drift.
Before we go deeper, though, I want to name something that's been hovering over this whole conversation. The reason this problem is so sticky is that it's not really a technical problem. It's a cognitive one. We're asking a system that predicts the next token to maintain a coherent argument over thousands of tokens, and we're surprised when the argument starts to fray. The model doesn't know it's making an argument. It doesn't have intentions or beliefs. It's just predicting what comes next, and after enough predictions, the statistical patterns in its own output start to outweigh the patterns in the original prompt.
That's the fundamental tension. We want long-form coherence from a system that's fundamentally local in its operation. Each token prediction is a local optimization, and we're hoping that local optimizations chain together into a global optimum. Structured memory is a way of injecting global information into those local decisions. It's a hack, but it's a hack that works because it aligns with how the model actually operates.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The mineral Lipscombite, an iron phosphate first identified in the 1950s, was named after chemist William Lipscomb, who won the Nobel Prize for his work on boranes. The etymological footnote, the suffix "ite," derives from the Greek "ites," meaning pertaining to, a convention formalized for mineral names in the 19th century. Lipscombite has been found in exactly one location in Tuvalu, the Funafuti Atoll, where it occurs as microscopic greenish-black crystals in phosphate-rich limestone.
Right. Let's frame the actual problem before we get into solutions. What we're diagnosing here is a specific failure mode that hits anyone generating long-form content with a single model. The temperature spike from 0.8 to 1.2 was the spectacular version, the engine seizure on the highway. But even at stable settings, there's a quieter degradation happening that's just as destructive over a 25-minute script.
The mechanism is worth understanding because it's counterintuitive. Most people think a model at temperature 0.8 stays at that effective creativity level throughout generation. It doesn't. The model is predicting each token based on everything that came before, including its own previous predictions. Every slightly imprecise word choice, every transition that's a little fuzzy, becomes part of the foundation for the next token. Over thousands of tokens, the signal-to-noise ratio steadily drops.
Death by a thousand micro-decisions.
The Google DeepMind study quantified this. Even with temperature locked, reasoning quality measurably declines after about 32,000 tokens of generated content. It's not a memory limit, it's an attention degradation problem. The model's capacity to attend to the original instructions gets diluted as more and more of its own output fills the context window.
We've got two failed approaches on the table. Approach 1, single agent with full context, works beautifully for the first 10 minutes, then slowly loses the plot. Approach 2, Daniel's multi-agent experiment where each section was written in isolation. That solved the context pollution problem completely, but introduced a worse one. Agents kept reintroducing topics because they had no memory of what had already been established.
The failure pattern there was specific. It wasn't that the writing was bad, individual sections were often excellent. It was that each section behaved like a standalone piece. Section 3 would open with, "Today we're discussing context degradation in language models," as if the audience hadn't been listening for 12 minutes already.
The podcast equivalent of a goldfish. Every section was a fresh start.
Which is why Daniel abandoned it. The coherence cost was higher than the context pollution cost. But the framing question for this episode is whether that trade-off is real. Is there a third way that doesn't force you to choose between progressive degradation and amnesiac agents?
That's what we're going to map out. The approaches that exist between one model drowning in its own output and six models who've never met each other.
Let's start with the approach Daniel actually floated in the prompt dynamic trailing context, truncation. The idea is seductive because it's simple. You maintain a sliding window over the generated tokens, keep the last 4,000 or so, and everything before that gets compressed into a summary. The model never sees more than, say, 5,000 tokens of context, so attention degradation never gets a foothold.
On paper, that solves the problem. The model isn't drowning because you keep bailing water. What's the catch?
The catch is that truncation is blind. It doesn't know which tokens matter. Imagine our episode structure. In section 1, we establish that context degradation is caused by attention mechanism limits, not memory limits. That's a foundational claim. In section 2, we introduce the Google DeepMind study and the 32,000 token threshold. In section 3, we're now discussing truncation as a potential fix. If the sliding window has dropped section 1 entirely, the model writing section 4 might still reference the attention bottleneck, but it's lost the original framing of why that bottleneck exists. Worse, it might contradict it without realizing.
You get a script that's locally coherent, but globally schizophrenic. Each section makes sense on its own, but they're not building the same argument.
The referential chain problem is even more concrete. Section 1 says, the DeepMind study identified three failure pattern, attention dilution, self-referential feedback loops, and instruction decay. Section 4, after truncation has dropped, section 1 says, the second failure pattern is particularly relevant here. The second, what? The model knows because it wrote it, but the text itself has lost the antecedent. The listener hears a dangling reference.
It's like trying to follow a conversation where someone keeps muting the first speaker mid-sentence. You catch fragments, but you can't reconstruct the argument.
This isn't theoretical. There's research backing up exactly how truncation breaks referential integrity. Pronouns, demonstratives, definite descriptions, all of these depend on entities being introduced earlier in the text. Drop the introduction, and the references float. The model might even start inventing new antecedents to resolve the ambiguity, which is how you get scripts where the same concept gets defined. Three different ways in three different sections.
Truncation doesn't just lose information, it actively creates misinformation. The model fills gaps with plausible-sounding nonsense.
Which brings us back to why the Blanks experiment was so important. Researchers took context that was causing degradation and replaced the irrelevant tokens with empty spaces, literal blanks. The reasoning still collapsed. The finding was that attention degradation isn't about the semantic content being distracting or misleading, it's about the sheer computational load of processing more tokens. Even blank tokens consume attention bandwidth. So truncation does reduce the load, which helps, but it also severs the informational connections that make the output coherent, You're trading one failure pattern for another.
Truncation is a haircut that stops the headaches but removes your ears. You're less bothered, but you can't hear the argument anymore.
That's the trade-off in a nutshell, which is why the hierarchical approach with structured memory is fundamentally different. Instead of blindly keeping the most recent tokens, you deliberately extract and preserve the most important information. The memory vector is curated, not chronological.
Let's make this concrete. Walk me through a 25-minute episode with 5 sections using the hierarchical approach. What does the supervisor actually do at each step?
The supervisor starts by generating a structured outline, probably a JSON object. Each node has the section's topic, the key claims that need to be established, any entities or running bits that should be referenced, and tone markers. For Section 1, the tone might be hook-driven, establishes stakes, conversational. For Section 3, it might be technical deep dive, maintain energy, use concrete numbers. The supervisor writes Section 1 itself or delegates to a section agent, since Section 1 has no prior content to summarize. After Section 1 is written, the supervisor generates the first memory vector, something like established. Context degradation is a compounding problem caused by attention mechanism limits, not memory limits. Introduced, Herman Poppleberry as expert voice, Korn as skeptical foil. Open threads, truncation as a potential fix not yet evaluated. Tone, technical but accessible with dry humor. Key entities, Google DeepMind 2025 study, Anthropic Precis mode.
Then Section 2's agent gets its outline node plus that memory vector. It knows not to reintroduce Herman. It knows the truncation discussion is coming. It knows the register to maintain.
After Section 2 is written, the supervisor updates the memory vector, adds what was covered, notes any new entities or claims, closes threads that were resolved, flags ones that are still open. The memory vector evolves as the document grows, but it never exceeds maybe 300 tokens.
The context each agent sees is tiny compared to a single agent approach. Section 5's agent sees maybe 500 tokens of memory, plus its section brief versus a single agent that would be staring at 20,000 tokens of accumulated text by that point.
That has downstream benefits beyond coherence. Latency drops significantly. A single agent processing a 32,000 token context takes much longer per token than a section agent processing 4,000 tokens. The hierarchical approach can be 3 times faster for the same output quality. Cost drops too, since you're paying for fewer input tokens.
There's a catch though. The supervisor agent itself becomes a single point of failure. If it generates a bad outline or a sloppy memory vector, every section suffers.
That's the bottleneck, yes, but there are mitigations. You can use a separate, smaller model for outline generation, something like GPT-40 Mini, and add a validation step that checks for structural completeness before any section agents start writing. The validation can be as simple as, does every section have a clear topic? Are there at least 3 key claims distributed across the outline? Are the tone markers consistent? If the outline fails validation, regenerate it. The cost of regenerating an outline is trivial compared to regenerating a full script.
You could even have the validation step catch things like, does Section 3's topic logically follow from Section 2's? Basic structural coherence checks that prevent the supervisor from producing an outline, where the argument jumps tracks.
This connects to something important about how people sometimes misdiagnose these problems. Retrieval augmented generation, RAG, gets conflated with context management all the time. They're solving completely different problems. RAG solves knowledge freshness. It pulls in external facts the model doesn't have memorized. Context management solves reasoning coherence. It prevents the model from drowning in its own output. You could have perfect RAG and still get incoherent scripts if your context is polluted.
Don't confuse your bandages. RAG is for knowledge. Structured memory is for coherence.
And there's a practical case study that demonstrates this. AI Content Labs published a blog post earlier this year about switching to hierarchical generation. They were producing 20-minute episodes and tracking coherence errors, things like repeated introductions, drop threads, tonal inconsistencies. Under the single-agent approach with full context, they were seeing coherence errors in roughly 15% of their sections. After switching to hierarchical generation with compressed memory vectors, that dropped to about 6%, a 60% reduction.
Those are the kinds of numbers that make engineers sit up, and the DeepMind study backs this up from the research side. Structured memory vectors reduce coherence loss by 40% compared to raw truncation. That's not a marginal tweak. That's the difference between a script that holds together and one that unravels.
The reason it works is that it aligns with how the attention mechanism actually functions. The model doesn't need to see every word that came before to maintain coherence. It needs to see the right summary of what came before. The memory vector is essentially a high signal extract of the context, purpose-built for the attention mechanism to latch onto. It's the difference between giving someone a map versus giving them a pile of satellite photos. The map tells you what matters. The photos make you figure it out yourself.
Which is exactly what Anthropic's Persist Mode demonstrated. Claude 3.5 Sonnet compresses context to 10% of its original size while retaining 95% of key information. They built it for document understanding, but the pattern is the same. Extract what matters, discard the rest. Feed the model a high signal summary.
We're talking about applying that pattern to generation rather than comprehension. The supervisor generates the precis, the section agents consume it. It's the same architectural insight, just pointed in the other direction. Here's the second-order problem nobody talks about. The supervisor agent can drift too. You're solving context pollution for the section agents, but the supervisor itself is generating memory vectors sequentially. If it makes a mistake in the vector for section 2, that mistake propagates into every subsequent section.
We move the bottleneck up one level. Instead of the script degrading, the editorial layer degrades.
That's actually worse in some ways because the degradation is compressed. A single bad sentence in a raw context might confuse the model for a few tokens. A bad memory vector poisons every section that comes after it. If the supervisor mischaracterizes a claim or drops a key entity from the vector, that information is gone forever from the perspective of later agents.
Which is why the mitigation you mentioned, using a separate smaller model for outline generation with a validation step, isn't optional. It's load-bearing.
And the validation has to be structural, not just a vibe check. You need to verify that every section has a clear topic, that key claims are distributed across the outline, that the tone markers are consistent, and that the argument flows logically from section to section. If the outline fails any of those checks, you regenerate it before any section agents start writing. The cost of regenerating an outline is pennies compared to regenerating a full script.
You could even run the outline through a coherence scorer. Have a separate lightweight model read the outline and answer questions like, does section 3's topic follow from section 2's? If the answer is no, flag it.
That's the kind of redundancy that makes these pipelines robust. And this connects to something people get wrong about retrieval augmented generation. RAG gets brought up in these conversations constantly, as if pulling in external facts will somehow fix coherence. It won't. RAG solves knowledge freshness. It makes sure the model knows about events that happened after its training cutoff. Context pollution is a reasoning problem, not a knowledge problem. You can have perfect RAG and still get incoherent scripts because the model is drowning in its own output.
Orthogonal problems. Orthogonal solutions. Don't bring a knowledge base to a reasoning fight.
The AI Content Lab's case study demonstrates this in practice. They didn't touch their RAG pipeline at all. They just switched from single-agent generation to hierarchical generation with compressed memory vectors, and their coherence errors dropped by 60%. Same knowledge, same models, different orchestration.
What does this mean for the TTS alignment problem? If sections are generated independently, even with a tone vector, you're going to get prosody mismatches. One section comes out breathless and urgent. The next sounds like it's reading a quarterly earnings report.
The tone vector is the primary defense, and it needs to be specific. Not just conversational, but conversational with dry asides. Maintain the rhythm of two hosts building on each other's points. Avoid anything that sounds like a list or a lecture. Each section agent gets that as part of its system prompt. But there's a secondary technique that helps. You can run a lightweight post-processing pass over the stitched script that checks for prosody consistency. It's not reading the script for content, it's reading it for rhythm. Does the sentence length vary naturally? Are the transitions between sections smooth? If section 3 ends with a short, punchy line and section 4 opens with a 40-word sentence, flag it.
That's the editorial equivalent of mastering a record. You're not changing the content. You're adjusting the dynamics so the whole thing sounds like one continuous performance.
Which is exactly what a good audio engineer does. And I say this as someone who has spent a lot of time thinking about how tracks flow together.
DJ Herman Poppleberry, suddenly the authority on prosody alignment.
Beat matching is prosody alignment. You're matching tempo and energy so the transition doesn't jar the listener. Same principle, different medium.
I'll allow it. But let's talk about the practical retrofit. Someone listening has a single agent pipeline that's working okay, but starting to show coherence degradation around the 15-minute mark. They can't rebuild the whole thing from scratch this week. What's the smallest change that moves the needle?
The context budget approach. Instead of feeding your agent the entire conversation history, you cap the prompt at the last 8,000 tokens plus a running summary of everything before that. The summary doesn't need a separate model. You can use the same model in a separate API call to summarize the truncated content. It's not as elegant as the full hierarchical approach, but it's something you can implement in an afternoon.
8,000 tokens is what? Roughly 10 to 12 minutes of spoken dialogue?
Roughly, depending on your speaking pace and how dense the content is. The key is to test with your specific material. Run the same episode through your pipeline with different context budgets, 6,000, 8,000, 10,000, and measure coherence manually. It's tedious, but it's the only way to find the sweet spot for your use case. Some content is more referentially dense than others. A technical deep dive with lots of callbacks needs more history than a linear narrative.
The trade-off is the same one we identified with truncation. You're gambling that the summary captures everything the model needs to maintain referential integrity.
Which is why the hierarchical approach is ultimately the more robust solution, even if it takes longer to implement. The memory vector is curated. It doesn't guess at what's important, it explicitly tracks what's been established, what's still open, and what tone to maintain. The context budget is a stopgap. It's better than drowning, but it's still a blunt instrument.
The arc here is, truncation is the quick fix, context budget is the weekend project, hierarchical generation with structured memory is the real architecture.
The real architecture is deployable today. You don't need frontier models or custom training. GPT-40 for the supervisor, GPT-40 mini for outline generation and validation, any competent model for the section agents. The engineering challenge is in the orchestration layer, not the model layer. It's API calls and JSON parsing, not fine-tuning.
Which brings us to the question hanging over all of this. Daniel mentioned it in the prompt, and it's the elephant in the room. As context windows expand, Gemini 1.5 Pro already handles 200,000 tokens. GPT-5 will presumably go further. Does all of this become obsolete? Are we designing solutions for a problem that's about to disappear?
I think the answer is more interesting than a simple yes or no. For raw generation, where you just need the model to produce coherent text, bigger context windows probably do make hierarchical approaches unnecessary eventually. If a model can reliably attend to 100,000 tokens without degradation, you don't need to chunk your generation. But there are two reasons structured memory survives even with infinite context.
Cost and latency are the obvious one. Processing 200,000 tokens is expensive and slow, and if you can get identical coherence with 4,000 token contexts plus a memory vector, you're saving real money.
That's the first reason. The second is more fundamental. Structured memory isn't just about context management, it's about intentionality. The supervisor agent making explicit decisions about what matters, what the through line is, what the audience needs to remember, that's an editorial function that raw context windows don't provide. A single model with a giant context window is still just predicting the next token. It's not stepping back to consider the whole.
Even when the technical constraint disappears, the architectural pattern survives because it produces better output. It's like how we still use outlines, even though word processors can handle infinite scrolling. The constraint wasn't the only reason the practice existed.
The supervisor is an automated editor. It's making decisions about narrative structure that a single agent with a giant context window might not make, because the single agent is just generating sequentially without ever considering the whole. The memory vector is the editorial through line made explicit.
That's the thing Daniel's original multi-agent approach was missing. He had the outline, he had the section agents, but he didn't have the memory vector that tells each agent what's already been established. The agents were working from the blueprint without knowing what parts of the building had already been constructed.
They kept laying new foundations because they didn't.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.